need more than one person passionate about radio to put radio on the air. And that's what's so exciting about it. It's not a solo activity.
Yeah, community radio, got to get everyone involved.
Murder at midnight, when the graves gape open and death strikes.
You're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
This is Rob Sacker, host of Overlooked, WGXC's excursion into underheard and overlooked music. Overlooked is now on fourth Tuesday of each month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Each show is themed, connecting disparate types of music in new and uncharted ways. That's Overlooked, 12 to 2 on Tuesdays.
You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bow. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a Survive All shelter today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Willa Kay of West Shokan, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You're tuned to Radio Art, creative transmissions, sound experiments, noise, and more on WGXC 90.7 FM Accra.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that almost 13,000 people living in the 18th and 19th congressional districts will go without pay if the federal government shuts down this weekend, according to the Congressional Research Service and New York Senator Chuck Schumer. He said, and I quote, "We cannot afford to let the extreme fringe views of the House Republican Conference risk a government shutdown and needlessly hurt New York families. This is not an abstract issue. If the House GOP refuses to embrace this bridge towards cooperation and away from extremism, the government will inevitably shut down, causing disruptions for millions of New Yorkers to services they rely on, while thousands of federal workers could be furloughed," end quote. Democrats in the Senate have passed a spending plan, but House Republicans are deadlocked with a small group of ultra-conservative representatives blocking all compromises. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said September 28th that he would not take up Senate legislation designed to keep the federal government fully running. He did not offer an alternative plan, so this weekend shutdown seems inevitable. Republican Mark Molinaro represents the 19th District and, without giving details, said he has a plan, saying, and I quote, "In a bipartisan government, our solution must be bipartisan, and that's what I'm continuing to work on," end quote. Democrat Pat Ryan, who represents the 18th District, said, and I quote, I'm pushing relentlessly to keep the government open, but extreme Republicans in the House refuse to negotiate. They haven't proposed legislation to fund the government and won't vote on the overwhelmingly bipartisan Senate legislation that would avert a shutdown. Thousands of Hudson Valley families, including active duty military personnel and postal workers, will go without pay. Millions more could go without vital services like SNAP and WIC. End quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Philip Pantuso reports for the Times Union about how Tubby's in Kingston is celebrating 5 years of bringing indie rock, hardcore, noise, and experimental bands to the Hudson Valley. Co-owner Corey Plump, who does the booking for the venue, said, and I quote, "I want it to feel like a different space as much as I can every time you walk in here. There's usually something for everybody if you're of an adventurous mind musically," end quote. And other owners, Katie McElroy, Drew Perino, and Morgan Coy, have made the bar into a destination for bands around the country. McElroy said it began more as a, and I quote, "neighborhood bar that had a few shows a week," end quote, rather than the full-scale music venue it is today. Back then, BSP and the Beverly Lounge in Kingston also hosted similar shows, but they are closed now, and now, Coy says, and I quote, "you'll see touring bands here that you would never see in a venue this size," end quote. Perino said, and I quote, "what's really hard now with businesses is everything has to be a certain thing or fit into a certain ideal or attract a certain kind of people. But we can just do what we do. And that feels like a real privilege," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. New York's Foliage Report says this week, and I quote, "in Greene County, spotters reporting from the upper elevations around Windham predict up to 40% leaf change with green, red, and yellow leaves of average brilliance, while foliage spotters in Catskill predict 10 to 15% change with a mix of orange, yellow, and red leaves. Albany County spotters at Thatcher State Park in Voorheesville predict up to 35% foliage change this weekend with average shades of yellow, orange, and green, along with some wisps of red. Columbia County spotters in Hudson predict 15% change this weekend with average shades of yellow and gold and a few splashes of orange," end quote. Read more about this at New York's Foliage Report online. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. First responders in Crawfordsville, Indiana, are rescuing new moms and their babies, but maybe not the way you think. Maternal death rates are up 40% in a decade nationally and are twice as high in rural versus urban areas. When the local birthing unit closed, Crawfordsville paramedic Darren Foreman teamed with the fire department on Project Swaddle, providing home visit care, education, and support to pregnant and postpartum moms.
Everybody thinks, oh, you're good. You had your baby. Nobody follows them. What we do is we follow them every week along with the baby.
Foreman says so far they've helped more than 200 women and their newborns stay healthy and safe, and emergency room visits are down 85%.
Fetal and maternal deaths are very, very low compared to where they were previously since the inception of my program.
Election denialism isn't going away, and as Anya Slepian reports, that could have lasting effects for rural voters.
More voting districts are opting to ditch voting machines and limit mail-in ballots over claims the 2020 election was stolen. But Stanford University political scientist Justin Grimmer says hand counting is slower and less accurate, and the changes can cause other problems, especially for rural districts where people live far from polls.
The real risk is that if localities start acting in a reactionary way because of these election integrity groups, you could actually end up eliminating some of the transparency that has been implemented.
Some local election officials have been accused of bias and threatened with violence. Tiffany Lee, the clerk for southwestern Colorado's rural La Plata County, says many election workers have quit in frustration.
We're just here to do our jobs. Just like your county treasurer, your county assessor, we're just human beings doing good work for the people's voices to be heard.
I'm Anya Slepian.
Old man winter is coming, but first, fall into autumn with a colorful road trip along America's byways. From raking cranberries in central Wisconsin to tracking migratory birds in the Northwest, Daily Yonder contributor Kim Cobersmith says there's no shortage of destinations.
It's amazing how many different landscapes that you can find in America when you get on those back roads.
The Pine Barrens have one of eight scenic byways in New Jersey, and Cobersmith says the 130-mile route is packed with folklore about demons and ghosts, and it's home to a rare dwarf forest.
There's some pygmy trees there that were about as tall as my 6-foot-1-inch son.
She says it's more than just the usual leaf peeping.
There's so much rich coloration in bog plants and the undergrowth. I think these byways really take you places where you can appreciate those colors.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
Hispanic Heritage Month is here, challenging anti-immigrant racism. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. National Hispanic Heritage Month in the United States runs from September 15th to October 15th, starting mid-month when several nations celebrate their independence. On September 15th, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. On September 16th, Mexico, and Chile on September 18th. The month began as a week in 1968. This year, the month coincides with the growing crisis along the U.S.-Mexico border. Thousands arrive daily seeking asylum, but instead finding razor wire hostility and arrest. This flood of humanity is what Democracy Now! News co-host Juan Gonzalez calls the harvest of empire, the title of his seminal History of Latinos in America as the consequences of colonial interventions abroad by the U.S. government create conditions in impacted countries that residents simply cannot endure. On the day before this year's Hispanic Heritage Month began, a federal judge in Austin, Texas, ordered Texas to remove a 1,000-foot floating barrier in the Rio Grande near Eagle Pass. The barrier, with large orange buoys strung together, separated by serrated saw blades, is the latest and perhaps most grotesque symbol of the anti-immigrant movement in the United States. Texas appealed the ruling, and a federal appeals court stayed the order as the case proceeds, allowing the barrier to remain in place. In early August, a body was found entangled in the barrier. Last week, the bodies of two drowning victims, an adult and a 3-year-old child, were recovered nearby as well. Most migrants face months of dangerous travel before even getting to the Rio Grande River crossing. Queremos pasar por un
mejor futuro. We want to cross into the United States for a better future. The journey has been very difficult. We have been mistreated. We have been hungry. We have suffered. The children are tired.
Mikel Alexander, a Venezuelan migrant, told Reuters near the border.
We will cross the border so that we can do well because our country is struggling.
Mikel's story is repeated day after day as millions in the Western Hemisphere flee increasingly dangerous and desperate situations in their home countries.
The historic interventions, military interventions, the sanctions that we've imposed on different countries in Central America, in the Caribbean, in South America, and of course the failed war on drugs are all important factors that are displacing people, creating misery, and responsible for much of the violence, corruption, and impunity in Central America, increasingly in places like South America, like Venezuela.
That's Democratic Congressmember Jesus Chuy Garcia speaking on the Democracy Now! News Hour.
That is at the root of what is driving people to desperation, and they're coming to the U.S. seeking asylum and refuge, fleeing terrible consequences, risking their lives to get here.
Garcia, the first Mexican-born U.S. Congress member from the Midwest, has requested more federal assistance for Chicago as thousands of migrants arrive there, many bussed by Republicans like Texas Governor Greg Abbott in cynical and potentially illegal political stunts. The ongoing influx of migrants, as Representative Chuy Garcia said, has deep roots in U.S. government interventions over many decades, including military interventions in the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Panama, Grenada, the U.S.-backed 1954 coup against the democratically elected president of Guatemala, and the ensuing U.S. support for murderous militaries and paramilitaries in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua in the 1980s. Crushing economic sanctions imposed by the U.S. on Cuba and Venezuela echo the dictate issued by President Nixon to the CIA in 1970, launching the plan to overthrow President Salvador Allende in Chile to, quote, make the economy scream, unquote. Latinos have played a central role in U.S. history, yet this rich history is under attack, as right-wing interests have derailed a Smithsonian Institution exhibit on their role in the civil rights movement being developed for the planned National Museum of the American Latino.
Our major concern was just to make sure that we were telling a truthful story, a complex story, and a nuanced story about how Latinos have grappled with their relationship to the United States.
Felipe Hinojosa is a Baylor University history professor and one of the curators of the paused exhibit. He spoke on Democracy Now!
The larger and broader questions of who are we and who are we as a community and what is our relationship to the nation were central questions for Latino civil rights activists in the 1960s and 1970s.
The civil rights exhibit has been replaced by one focusing on salsa music. Instead of these complex narratives, we see a rising movement to erase history and supplant it with xenophobic soundbites. This dog-whistle racism, buttressed by razor-barbed buoys along the border, represents a dark and dangerous turn in our nation's history. Let's make Hispanic Heritage Month a time to celebrate diversity and to overcome the legacy of racism in the United States. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC Weekend Weather Report. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a chance of showers today, mainly before 9 a.m. It will be cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, with the temperature high near 66 degrees and a north wind at around 6 miles per hour. Tonight it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 51 degrees and a northwest wind at 3 to 5 miles an hour. On Sunday, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 73 degrees and a north wind at 3 to 8 miles an hour. And on Sunday night, it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And on Monday, sunny with a high near 74 degrees. And that is your weekend weather report from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Green and Columbia Counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
WGXE believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXE is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Stuck a pin in your backbone, spoke it down from there. All I ever wanted was to be your spine. Lost your friction and you slid for a mile. Overdone, overdrive, overlive, override. You're not the one who let me down, but thanks for offering. It's not a voice and I'm not around. Thanks for picking it.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
This is the best rib sub I have ever had. A woman yells to no one in particular at Devil's Hole Pizza and Ribs. We've even had barbecue in Louisiana, and it's not as good as this, she utters into the void. Her husband looks down, half-heartedly poking at the few remaining baked beans scattered below. His stomach is not so full that he can't swallow the first response that comes to mind. Sweetheart, we've never been to Louisiana. We've never even been outside of Niagara County in all of our 55 years together. This, he does not say. It's just too much trouble, so he says nothing. He just thinks about how it's getting worse. She is being lost to time. And he feels there is little he can do but watch the decline. But even though she is not the same woman he once knew, he has learned after all these years that he will love her no matter what. Love was out of his control. So he carries on, poking at the beans on his plate, which overlaps with her plate, since the table that they're sitting on is much too small for two people. But it's the only table at this establishment, usually used by people waiting for their takeout orders. The presence of other people sitting here eating takes Zach L. Keebaugh by surprise when he enters. This doesn't seem like the kind of place for dining in. He stutter steps as he walks past their table, thinks of saying something but he doesn't, too awkward. So he breezes up to the counter and addresses the hole in the wall, underneath the sign that says, "Place order here."
Hey, buddy, you back there?
Remember me? I was here yesterday.
I'm only in town one more night.
Food was amazing.
Loved it.
Gotta get me some more before I head out of town.
A large, shadowy figure in the back of the kitchen says nothing. So Zach just places his takeout order. Half rack of ribs, coleslaw, baked beans, slice of buffalo chicken pizza, a loganberry, and two dipping sauces, spicy barbecue, and creamy horseradish. As he waits, the old man stares at him, transfixed. His attention is not at all seized by jealousy, he tells himself, just curiosity. He wonders what his story is, this young, beautiful man with pointy boots and a backwards newsboy cap. He decides he must be gay, from a big city, or both. If he's rich, he does resent him a little. And if he's not rich, the guy must be up to no good. But no, not jealous at all. Zach's order is ready. A grocery-sized paper bag dangles from a meaty hand sticking out of the hole in the wall. Zach grabs the bag, puts a wad of cash in the hand, keep the change. He sets the bag of styrofoam containers in the passenger seat of his Mazda Miata and heads to his motel. Devil's Hole remains behind, a quiet diorama behind glass, with an old couple sitting there underneath fluorescent lights at a much too small table. The woman is talking, but her husband is too deep in thought. Nothing is registering in his brain. He just nods and gets smaller in the distance as it all slowly disappears into a different plot. Hospital corners. That's the secret to a well-made bed. And the maid working on room 33 cranks them out like a machine.
Position a flat sheet. A flat sheet is a sheet.
Bottom sheet corners tucked, crisp under mattress, not a wrinkle. Top corner folded, 45 degrees, hanging, tucked, clean, smooth the edge. The maid looks just as tidy and crisp as the beds she makes. She's like a maid from a different era. Fully starched uniform of black dress, white buttons, and lace apron at the waist. But before she is done cleaning room 33, its guest has arrived. It's Zach, rolling his sports car into the spot in front of the room marked with a 33 in yellow paint. A pampered, sparkling motorcycle is the only other vehicle in the parking lot. He sees that the door to his room is open. Then he sees the maid emerge while tying off a bag of garbage. Confused, he calls to her. "Hey, this is my room. I'm still here another night." "Yes, I'm sorry," she replies. "We just figured you might like some nice, fresh bedding and a tidying up. I'll only be another minute." "Kind of strange to be cleaning a room when the guest hasn't requested it, right? Especially at 8 p.m., he asks. She just smiles and goes right back to cleaning the room. He watches her work, struck by her elegance and long, sharp form.
I guess I can wait.
He sets his bag of food on the hood and gets a head start on dinner by popping open one of his to-go boxes and taking a few bites of pizza. He peers into the room through the open door as he chews, hardly taking an eye off the contours of the maid as she maneuvers around the bed. She gathers her supply onto a small cart and then takes one last step back to inspect, or perhaps admire, her work. A perfectly made bed, not a crumb on the floor or out of place, and this is how she always sets a room, left without a history of guests. "All yours," she says as she pushes the cart past him.
"Enjoy your stay at the Cascade Motel."
He gloms a few more leers at the restrained way her tight dress shapes her exit. A pervert's grin flashes across his face, and then he heads into the room. He is immediately struck by how immaculately clean it is, and bright, freakishly bright white. White blanket, white sheets, white pillows, white table and chairs and walls. He notices one new feature as well. The drab orange curtains have been replaced with delicate bands of white lace. His deep red barbecue ribs scream as they enter this virginal chamber. He wastes no time in rearranging the maid's work by setting up an emergency dinner area. Pulls up a table next to the bed, sets the phone and the lamp from the table onto the floor next to him, pulls a second chair over on which to rest excessive styrofoam containers. The ribs look garish and crystalline. He eats them like an animal without napkins, it occurs to him. The shadow at Devil's Hole forgot to give him napkins. Jesus, he whispers to himself. Barbecue ribs and no fucking napkins. He looks around, then heads to the bathroom to grab two clean white lace trim washcloths. He sets the beans and the coleslaw on the chair, the ribs, loganberry, half slice of pizza and sauces on the side table, and he sits facing it all from the edge of the bed. A drip of spicy barbecue dip drops onto the side of the white bed. Loganberry seeps from the improperly closed lid onto the white rug. The red drenched washcloths rub a tint against the white walls they're sitting against. After he finishes as much as he can, he stuffs the empty containers into a garbage can that seems smaller than the garbage he's trying to fit into it. The aftermath of his meal has left a devastating smell in the air. He is too much a part of it to notice it, but he does notice the TV. He normally doesn't watch TV, but whenever he's in a motel, he's compelled to at least turn it on, flip through it a bit, and then usually turn it right back off. He finds the remote velcroed to the top of the TV. He turns it on, but there's just a thin white line across the black screen. No sound. He flips through, all the same. He gives up without much of a fight, just leaving the TV hanging there with the white line on its screen. He can hear the TV from the room next door, though, and it makes him envious. The walls of this motel are paper thin. So without any straining, he can tell that the guest in room 34 is watching some sensational show about animal attacks. A chimp mauls his owners at a birthday party.
"I had no idea a chimpanzee was capable of doing that to a human. He got all my fingers on each hand, gouged out my left eye, and bit my rear end so deep that it damaged my sciatic nerve. That's why I can't walk. He also got my wife's thumb, took that, and I was kicking at it for my
He wants to watch TV like the guy in room 34.
Worst birthday ever.
But instead, he just digests and stares ahead at the bright white wall. His ears pick up the clacking sound of high heels in the distance. They are coming closer, louder. They seem to slow down right outside of his door, then stop. Whoever it is, she's right on the other side of his door. He sits up, alert. But then the footsteps start up again and stop just a few feet away. And there's a knock on the door next to him, room 34. The door opens. Zach puts his ear to the wall, and he can hear voices in the next room, crystal clear, as if it were his own.
"Hi, can I help you?"
The guest in room 34 answers the door in his t-shirt and sweatpants. He's in his mid-50s, rugged and sleepy, and completely surprised to open the door to find a beautiful lady on the other side of it. She's dressed for a night out, yet carrying a large box. Makeup, pumps, and a big stupid cardboard box that she needs both arms outstretched to carry. Hey, how's your night going? Is that your motorcycle? She asks. Yes, it is. Do I know you? Yes, of course I do. I do. Nah, we've never met. I'm just from around the area, she says. I stop by the motel sometimes to sell some merchandise and just get to know folks. And I saw your handsome motorcycle and thought, gee, I'd really like to see who this fella is. She tells him her name is Nicole. Tonight she is selling decorative hourglasses. Cheap-looking things made of bright-colored plastic, filled with white sand that falls on a tiny replica of Niagara Falls. Part hourglass, part snow globe, all tchotchke.
You're going door to door at night, selling hourglasses?
Well, the wagon wheel. You know, the bar. It's right nearby, and I move a lot of product there, so I always figure to stop here afterwards to see if any out-of-towners might want a souvenir.
Their conversation is brief. She never even sits. But they cover a lot of ground in the short period of time. The guest in room 34 has clearly been yearning for human contact. He instantly opened up about his recent divorce, his early retirement due to a spinal injury, how he can't ride his motorcycle for too long because of his back, but he still likes to ride it when he can. He lives a little over an hour away in Rochester. He just wanted to get away, see the falls, and try his luck at the casino. He's been feeling lonely lately, he tells her that. Just good to get out. Even as he spilled all this to her, in the back of his mind, he was puzzled by this random woman standing in his tiny motel room. Do you like them? She inquires.
Sure, but it's very odd.
No doubt about it. Very odd.
Is there anything else I can offer you tonight?
He pauses. Too many things go through his head. He takes a good look at her, trying to decode her intentions. And he suddenly senses something strange about her. Makes his skin crawl. There's a dead look in her eyes, completely disconnected from the sparkle of her smile.
No, I'm fine. I'll take one. An hourglass. Just an hourglass. How much?
Oh, okay, an hourglass then. Here, then how about this one? It's so you. Just $8. He quickly pushes a $10 bill towards her and goes quiet. Are you sure there's nothing else I can interest you in tonight, sweetie? He says no, and she packs her box to leave. But before she does, she turns to him. Well, enjoy your stay. Oh, and these hourglasses, by the way? The sands only fall in one direction. You'll see. Back in room 33, Zach hears every word of this, standing with his face to the wall. After he heard her leave room 34, he excitedly hoped his door was next. He is curious about those additional services. Zach L. Keebaugh is a party boy, and his appetite for adventure is even higher than his appetite for a good rack of ribs. He waits, but she walks right by his door. He hears her heels walking through the parking lot. He pulls the lace curtain aside and sees her sashaying away. Without hesitation, he pops open his door, looks to his left, and then hurries after her. Hey, excuse me, excuse me. She stops, but doesn't turn around. You're the hourglass lady, aren't you? I'll take one. I'll take whatever you're offering. Sorry, buddy, but I just sold the last one, she says, and then flings the empty box onto a pile of abandoned mattresses.
But I have more back at my place if you'd like to follow me there.
Hell yeah.
She leads him out of the parking lot and across the street. They traverse a field and walk across the baseball diamond at Hyde Park. Through the brush they go at the edge of the outfield, where she disappears into a dense stand of shrubs and briars. Looking ahead for her, he can't see her, but he can hear her giggle, and he can sense that she's close. The thicket didn't look very dense to him at first, but now that he's entered it, it feels like a jungle. Absolute darkness surrounds him. He hears nothing but the rustling of branches and the sound of her breath. She feels near. He reaches out and cannot feel her. She beckons. This way, the voice, modulating, breaking. Her but not her. But he can't stop following. The air he gulps is getting thicker and moist. The blackness turns to swirls of purple and dark blue, unfolding in around him as the ornate plumage. There is a sense of euphoria with every inhalation. She laughs, He sees her face. Her body is formless. He moves forward, but not on his own. He slides along more down than across. Strange, but he feels a smile on his face, hot blood on his lips. Blinding flashes of a chimpanzee hacking at him, his big white teeth glinting in shards of moonlight. Zack sees himself being ripped apart, but only feels pleasure. The branches are decorated with his limbs. He caresses the chimp's face, the struggle, mouth to mouth, and limb to limb to limb. Suddenly, all sounds deafening. The chimp shrieks. Nicole belches a deep, baleful laugh and grows, and spreads two legs made of trees, from which a corpse, mummified in lace, emerges.
Come with us forever, party boy.
His spirit descends into a pit in the earth. His severed head licks his lips. His eyes have never seen so clearly. He felt so good he couldn't feel a thing. I can't wait for you to take my place, he hears sung, echoing as if from a distant bathtub or light bulb. His body is in shreds. His mind is a mere sliver until it was completely swallowed by something beyond death. Worlds away. A baseball diamond sits, sparingly used, bored as dirt. Back at the motel, the guest in room 34 goes out for a smoke. He notices a maid making up the bed, although the Mazda is still parked in the spot for room 33. The room is so clean it almost glows. But it's after 10 p.m. Why is she making up a room at this hour? None of my business, he tells himself. He takes a couple more deep sucks on his cigarette and looks as far as he can into the distance. He goes back to his room and shuts the door. The sand has emptied to the bottom of the hourglass, so he flips it over. But somehow, the sand no longer flows. He stretches and feels no pain in his back. You know something, he thinks to himself? I think I'll go for a nice long ride tomorrow.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Barris. To make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting un-American behavior is 1 year in prison or $10,000 fine. Or both! Anyone making a sick, submersive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under edict number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses. Okay, have fun, buddy. All right.
All right, I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and just want to get you up to date on the WGXC community calendar, some events going on this coming week that you might want to attend in person or online. Like the Down County Jump is Saturday, September 30th. That's from noon to 11 p.m. I guess check on the weather. But it's brought to you by the folks from the Old Tone Festival. And there's all sorts of bands performing. A list too long to read here, but you can find it online at the WGXC Community Calendar. The show's at the Racebrook Lodge in Sheffield, Massachusetts, just over the border. Also, Saturday, September 30th, the Catskill Saturday Ukulele Jam happens every week from 1:30 to 3 p.m. at the Catskill United Methodist Church. There's also a performance of Dracula Saturday, September 30th, from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale. PS21 in Chatham, Saturday, September 30th, hosts Never 21. French Malayan choreographer and dancer Smal Kanut's piece is called Never 21, performed 5 p.m. at PS21 in Chatham on Saturday. Sunday, October 1st, the traditional Irish music session is at the Shamrock House every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. in East Durham. Monday, October 2nd, every other week, live at Joust in Catskill at 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. is Music for Furniture, bi-weekly live improvised ambient music featuring David and Kenji Garland, Dan Kirkus, Jimmy Garver, Rodney Greenblatt, and other guest performers. Also Monday, October 2nd, Columbia and Green Career Fair is being held at the Columbia Green Community College from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Scott Yoder performs Monday, October 2nd at the Tinker Street Cinema at 6:30 p.m. in Woodstock. Tuesday, October 3rd, there's a free community lunch at the First Reformed Church of Catskill. That's at noon. If you need a hot meal, Tuesday at noon is the place to get it at the First Reformed Church in Catskill. There's eating in options and taking lunch to go options. The free community lunch. You can also donate or volunteer at free community lunch, frcadmin@verizon.net, frcadmin@verizon.net, to help out with the free community lunch Tuesday, October 3rd at noon at the First Reformed Church of Catskill. Also in Catskill on Tuesday, October 3rd, the Catskill Town Board Committee meeting is at the Catskill Town Hall at 6:30 p.m. And also WGXC always has a live web stream of Catskill Town Meetings, WGXC.org/listen. Wednesday, October 4th, the WGXC Pledge Drive begins. That's from October 4th to October 13th. This is our local music pledge drive. We're focusing on playing the hits from people you may know, people around the corner, throughout the Hudson Valley and regionally. So tune in. Wednesday, October 4th, Barbara Newman and Jonna Lays perform at Dewey Hall. It's mythic storytelling with Barbara Newman, a conversation with Jonna Lays. Thursday, October 5th, the Thursday market is still in the public square in Hudson from 4 to 7 p.m. every Thursday. Hudson Area Library Thursday hosts at 6 p.m. the Jacob Leiser Institute for Early New York and the Hudson Area Library are putting on a talk by Heidi Hill, the historic manager of Cralo and the Schuller Mansion. It's called Interpretations of the Past Have Impact. Thursday, October 5th, the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill begins hosting the Glass Menagerie. Performances Thursday, Friday, and Sunday afternoon. These events and more are on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. You can press the Add an Event button there to make sure the event that you're helping to organize
It's heard on the radio and seen around the world in the community calendar at WGXC.org.
Hey man, I saw your Volkswagen thing from across the street while I was getting a rhubarb smoothie. Oh yeah, these smoothies are great. They're loaded with important phytochemicals to combat the free radicals floating around in your body, causing you to make bad decisions, like buying that Volkswagen thing. Oh, good burn, man. You seem really cool. Yeah, I guess you could say I've been dulling the cutting edge for years. So I was wondering if you could tell me where the raddest swimming spots are. Me and my girlfriend Olestra burning up in this man-made heat dome. Oh, rad, man. Yeah, me and my girlfriend Topiary, we're just gonna head over there. Oh, snap, my man. What are the GPs? That's like a way of saying GPS without really saying it. Well, we could tell you the DDs, but then we would have to kill you. Oh, hilarious, Pierce Brosnan. No, seriously, we would stuff you in the trunk of our 1968 Toyota Land Cruiser, and you would probably suffocate, and then you would be unable to swim. Massive bummer. Well, would you have the 411 on a poorly ventilated pavilion with a band playing awkward versions of old Southern rock songs? My dude, I have just the spot for you. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night at 10 p.m., only on WGXC and WGXC.org.